May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, St. Michael's. It is a joy and a pleasure to be back with you and a beautiful day to worship God together. I'm so grateful to you, Mother Kate, for inviting me back. I think this is my fifth year of coming back to St. Michael's. I'm so grateful every time I get to be here. Last year, I don't know if you remember, but we had a little Zoom glitch because Zoom had a problem nationwide and we had to migrate over to Facebook really fast, but it was a beautiful service. It was right after the George Floyd murder, and so much has happened in our world since I was with you last time. But one thing has not changed, and that is God, who is eternal, and God's word. And so I'm excited to share with you the good news of God's love for us in his son, Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful to be here. And I wanna start by talking about Peter, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And I like Peter because he was chosen by Jesus. He was chosen despite being arrogant and a little obtuse, a little thick. I can definitely personally relate to Peter in those respects. And what draws me to Peter is the love that Peter has for God and the love that Jesus had for Peter. And that love endures and it even grows despite Peter's failures and Peter abandoning Jesus in his greatest hour of need. We're looking at a flawed man here. Peter is quite flawed. But what Peter had was faith in God, belief in Jesus, and love for God. And in the second lesson, we heard that the victory that conquers the world is our faith. And that's what Peter had. The Peter we see today is not the same Peter that we saw earlier in the Gospels when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me." Peter grows and Peter has changed quite a bit. The Peter we see today was formed by Jesus. And he's plugged into God. This little four verse passage that we hear comes at the very end of Acts chapter 10. And I want to give a little backstory here of what the context is going on in this passage. So Peter and a Roman centurion named Cornelius are having a simultaneous mystical experience here. So Peter's in Joppa and the Roman centurion Cornelius is in Caesarea, and the Holy Spirit connects the two of them. So Peter goes and visits Cornelius in Caesarea, and this is kind of remarkable because, you know, Peter would, of his own volition, would not be able to have heard that call, follow that call, had it not been for the transformative power of God and for God's forming of Peter. Peter shares the good news about Jesus Christ with Cornelius and his household. And the passage that comes just before what we hear in Acts is that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins in his name. And that's the word that Peter is preaching to the people in Cornelius's household. And Peter is preaching this from his own experience. So he knows from which he is speaking. Peter's vision, his mystical experience, involved a sheet being lowered down to the ground, and on that sheet were all kinds of animals. And the what he interpreted that dream to say was that all animals are clean, all things are clean, and that he is not required to follow the strict Jewish dietary requirements. When Cornelius's people show up at his house, he also interprets the dream to say that the love of God and the good news of Jesus is not limited to the circumcised believers. It is for all people, including us. This little four verse passage tells us a lot about God. We worship a God who is loving and forgiving. And in Peter's day, that was not always the case of all the gods. So there were a lot of gods back then, including the emperor. And the gods had a reputation of being harsh and random, capricious. And you never knew when you were going to be smote by God, or a god. The emperor, of course, was a god. And he would kill anyone who crossed him. And you know, just look at what happened to Jesus. The other gods that are around during our time now are equally harsh and sometimes capricious. So just look at the god of, let's say, youth and beauty. That is a very unforgiving god. The god of money, which all of us from time to time worship. That god does not care about us. The only reconciliation that money has are debits and credits. At the end of a statement, there's no reconciliation, no forgiveness of sins, the way that our God gives us reconciliation through the blood of Jesus, through his death and resurrection. The God that we worship, the same God that Peter worshiped, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is infinitely loving, infinitely patient, infinitely forgiving. And that is really good news for us. For us people who are flawed. We are reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter's story is important for us because he shows that we can screw up over and over again. And if we keep coming back to God, if we keep believing, if we maintain faith, God will form us into people who can do things way beyond what we expected we could do. We can do miraculous things, much like what Peter did. Peter, a simple fisherman, obtuse and arrogant, did miraculous things. It takes time for us to mature and develop. It takes time for God to form us into spiritual and emotional maturity. Peter is bearing fruit in this passage today with Cornelius and his household. He baptizes the whole household. And I think what's important here, much like what Jesus said in the gospel today, is that Peter did not choose Jesus. Remember, Jesus chose Peter. Jesus chooses each one of us. Each of us who are here today was chosen by God. Often we think, well, we made the decision to be believers, or that we are making the decision to investigate our belief, even if maybe perhaps you're not sure about Jesus. But what is true is that Jesus chose us first. We are here today because deep down in our hearts, we know that the other gods that are out there cannot give us what Jesus can give us. We're all here for different reasons today. We have different backgrounds. Maybe you're here because of some crisis in your life, an illness. You're kind of at the end of your rope. There's lots of reasons. But whether you are Black or white or Haitian or American or Haitian American, rich or poor, we all want the same things. We want to flourish in our lives. We want to flourish and not to languish. This week, the New York Times had a quiz in the online version of the paper. And it was a quiz entitled, "Are You Flourishing?" You can go find it if you haven't taken it already. And there were maybe 10 questions on there, but the questions included things like this. Are you satisfied with your life? Does your life have purpose? Are you happy with your relationships? None of the questions said anything about what's the size of your bank account? What is your title at work? Are you up for a promotion? How many square feet do you have in your apartment? Nothing like that. Now, if you do take that survey and you don't get the results that you want, perhaps it's time to abide with Jesus a little bit more, abide. That's a word we don't hear very often. I think the most common usage of it in our culture right now is in the movie, The Big Lebowski. Abide is a word that comes from the Greek. There's a Greek verb, meno, which means to accept. It's a passive verb. We stay with God. We wait with God. We accept and don't resist. There's a lot of things about the love of God and Jesus Christ that, frankly, I resisted for a long time. It didn't make sense to me. It wasn't logical. I couldn't figure it out. I tried to figure it out. I spent a lot of time doing that and investigating other religions, Buddhism, others. It wasn't until I quit the debating society and just accepted, abided, if you will, that God loves me, God loves you, and that love is not proportional to what we deserve. Thank God for that. That love is way bigger, way more than we can really imagine, certainly more than we deserve. It was when I began to abide more that my joy in Jesus became more complete, just as he says in the gospel today. That it has come true for me. We don't need to do anything to earn or work for this love and forgiveness of God. All we do is abide, accept, believe. And as John said, that belief is the key for me, for us. That's it. That's all we do. It's easier said than done, but abiding in God's love, believing. The good news is that for us, just like with Peter, we've got our whole lives, however long that is, we've got our whole lives to abide with God. And that infinite patience of God is just waiting for us to open those lessons for us, those teachings and growings. And God is a gentle teacher for us. So here's the good news for all of us. Jesus chose us. He chose us to love each other and to love God. He chose us to bear fruit. And if we abide in him, if we keep his commandment, which does not mean the entire Jewish law, when Jesus and John here are talking about Jesus's commandment, he's talking about the two greatest commandments, that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what they're talking about. When we do that, we can ask God for what we want and we will get it. That's what Jesus says today. In fact, he said it also in the gospel lesson we heard last week. So I really pay attention when the scriptures repeat things like that. We can ask for what we want and we will receive it. Not like Santa Claus, not like an ATM. This is not something that is just about getting what we want, but it's about getting the things that we want as we abide in God, as we would get from a parent, that we trust our parent, and a parent that loves us and wants us to be happy and wants us to flourish. And I absolutely believe that God wants each of us to flourish and to be happy. So I leave you with a question. What do you want to ask God to do for you? That's a big question, right? It's a question I think that many of us don't ask. We often don't make a bold request of God. Lots of reasons. I mean, we think it maybe is selfish, or we're afraid of what might happen, or afraid that God won't answer. There's lots of reasons. But I encourage you, as you abide in God's love, ask God for what you want and what you need. Only you know what that is. God really does want us to flourish. God chose you, just like God chose Peter. What do you want to ask God for? And what are you waiting for? May God bless these words, and may God bless each of us. Amen.